So welcome to Local News and Features. We're in batch number one of Update Talking News Stoke, and this is for May the 30th. I can't believe we're almost halfway through the year already, and I've got some headlines for you now. So I'm going to do my headlines, then I am reading with Uta. At the moment we're going to do a few batches together, and then she also has a bit later for you her one and only snippets. So the headlines for batch number one: hundreds of shoppers want second Woolstanton retail park access as drivers are fined, and dozens turn out for Great British National Strike rally in Hanley. And over to Huta, who's going to do her headlines for you.
Yeah, hello, hi. And this is about the multi-million pound train station upgrade, which is delayed. And also the axe falls as City Council leader sacks finance cabinet member.
Okay, so I'm going to do the first story for you now, which is hundreds of shoppers want second Woolstanton retail park access as drivers are fined. Hundreds of drivers are calling for a second access to and from North Staffordshire retail park, Woolstanton. An online petition has been launched calling for a change at Woolstanton Retail Park. It comes after shoppers have landed parking fines after getting stuck in queues and exceeding the four-hour parking limit. Many drivers argue that the situation has got worse since the opening of Futuria Valley Link Road, linking the A500 and Festival Park. Now more than 250 people so far have signed the petition. The petition states residents of Woolstanton have been asking individually for years that the chaos caused by the poor planning at Woolstanton Retail Park is addressed, but nothing has happened. We raised objections and concerns when additional stores were added, when the link road was built, and when the roundabout was redesigned. Now together we are insisting that Staffordshire County Council, Newcastle Borough Council and the private owners of Woolstanton Retail Park urgently address the ongoing traffic issues that are caused by the inadequate single entrance and exit of Woolstanton Retail Park, and the impact that it has on the surrounding roads. The current road layout causes major disruption to the surrounding area, with long queues often forming at the roundabout to the exit and leading to the retail park. This results in serious consequences for drivers and residents. We're tired of these issues that persist and become more frequent. For years, we have objected to planning proposals that fail to address these concerns adequately. The current infrastructure continues to create daily problems for both residents and visitors to the retail park, making it increasingly difficult to enter or leave homes and businesses. We urge the local council and National Highways to work collaboratively with the private owners of Woolstanton Retail Park to find a viable solution to these traffic issues. The retail park needs an additional entrance and exit. The roundabout needs a redesign with better planning to improve the flow of traffic, enhance safety, and ensure that those living and working in the area can go about their daily lives without unnecessary delays or risks. We insist that the action be taken as soon as possible to prevent further inconvenience and improve the safety and quality of life for all those who are affected. So over to Uta, who's going to do her first story for us in batch number one.
Thank you, Timbo. So it's about the multi-million pound train station. Well, it's supposed to be an upgrade, but it is delayed as Labour and Tories fall out. Conservative and Labour politicians are blaming each other over delays, threatening a railway station upgrade project. Kidsgrove Station was allocated £3.65 million of town deal funding for works including a new transport interchange and a 200-space car park. But concerns over subsidence linked to decades of coal mining in the area are holding up the scheme, with the projected cost rising to £5.5 million. But that's pounds, obviously. There are growing fears the plans may have to be scrapped and the town deal money returned to the government. Simon Tugg, the Conservative leader of Newcastle Borough Council, says Labour MP David Williams is not going and not doing enough to ensure government support for the project. But Mr. Williams has hit back, accusing the Borough Council of failing to factor in the costs of ground remediation. That's the work, which with its original station project budget. The Borough Council says the Network Rail, which owns the station, will not allow investigations into the subsidence issue to be commissioned until there is a fully funded restoration plan in place. But the Town Deal Board will not know how much the restoration will cost until the exploratory work is carried out. Councillor Tagg said, "This is a catch-22 situation, and if it is not resolved quickly, we will lose all the money earmarked for improving Kidsgrove train station." Funding appeared to be in place for the project, but we have heard nothing since the new government took over in July 2024. In November, I wrote to Kidsgrove MP David Williams, asking him to ensure funding was still in place and to work with the Department for Transport, Network Rail and the Ministry of Housing, Communities and Local Government to help us deliver this important project, but to date, I have received no reply. This delay is frustrating because not only do we risk losing funding for a much-needed project, but town deal money has been used successfully elsewhere in Kidsgrove. The train station upgrade is an important part of Kidsgrove's regeneration, and we need a resolution. Councillor Tagg has written to Mr. Williams requesting an update on the situation and suggesting a meeting to discuss the matter. Mr. Williams recently criticised Councillor Tagg and Jonathan Gullis, his Tory predecessor as Stoke-on-Trent North MP, in the House of Commons, saying they overpromised and underdelivered on Kidsgrove Town Deal. Speaking in response to Councillor Tagg's letter, Mr. Williams says the Borough Council needs to come up with a plan to get the station project back on track. He said, "It is deeply disappointing, but sadly not surprising, to see Councillor Simon Tagg attempting to deflect responsibility for the failings of Newcastle Borough Council on the issue of Kidsgrove train station." Well, the reality is this. The council promised the people of Kidsgrove a revitalised train station without ever properly budgeting for the works that would be needed to deliver it. They bid for town deal funding without factoring in the known risks of historic coal mining and the need for significant ground remediation. That decision and that failure of foresight lie squarely at the feet of the Borough Council, not with previous government, not with the new government, and not with me. Well, the people losing out here are the people of Kidsgrove. They want leadership, not plain games. I stand ready to support any realistic deliverable plan to get this project back on track. Over to you, Tim.
Many thanks. So my next story now is dozens turned out for a Great British National Strike rally in Hanley. Dozens have turned out for demonstration in the city centre as rallies took place across the UK. The Great British National Strike event took place in Hanley this week, where various speakers addressed the crowd. Around 100 turned up for the demonstration on Upper Market Square, and while there were four police liaison officers present, the protest passed peacefully, unlike in some parts of the country where police had to separate counter-demonstrators. Nationally, the group has a host of gripes, including two-tier policing, disability benefit cuts, and grooming gangs. In the Potteries and the demonstration, the demonstration got underway at around noon, lasting for just over an hour. During the session, speakers echoed the national group's concerns, along with specifically talking about grooming gangs, illegal immigration, and pressures facing farmers. Speaker Darren Barlow talked solely about farming. He raised concerns over green belt being used for housing, and he told city centre visitors once these farmlands have gone under solar panels, they'll be gone forever. They'll be used for brownfield sites and turned into housing. Meanwhile, a banner was also held up in support of the No Farmers, No Food campaign group. That group has previously raised concerns about the future of farming that is currently under threat. This year has seen farmers hold protests through Farmers to Action over proposed government changes to inheritance tax. Ahead of the rally, it was anticipated that across the country around 500,000 people would attend the planned protests. The Hanley demonstration ended at around 1:15 p.m. So over to Uta, who's going to do her final story for us in batch number one.
Number one, yes. Chop, chop, chop. Axe falls as city council leader sacks finance cabinet member in reshuffle. The finance cabinet member at Stoke-on-Trent City Council has been sacked in a mid-term reshuffle. Labour councillor Alastair Watson had been serving as cabinet member for financial sustainability and corporate resources at the authority since Labour won the 2023 council elections. But council leader Jane Ashworth has now fired councillor Watson from the cabinet in a reshuffle, announcing during Thursday's annual council meeting. Councillor Ashworth said the reshuffle was about getting the right people in the right roles, but she rejected claims from local Conservatives that Councillor Watson had challenged her for the leadership. As Finance Cabinet Member, Councillor Watson was responsible for overseeing the Council's budget setting at a time when the Council was seeing massive overspending on children's services due to high numbers of children in care. Under his watch, the authority secured £42.2 million of bailout loans from the government in 2024 and a further £16.8 million of exceptional financial support in 2025. So Councillor Watson held a similar cabinet role towards the end of the previous Labour administration from 2014 to 2015. He remains the Labour councillor for Hanley Park, Joiners Square and Shelton. Councillor Ashworth said, "I'd like to thank Alistair for the work he's done over the last couple of years. He helped steady the ship following the mess we inherited from the Conservatives. There could be a role for Alistair in the future. It's about having the right people in the right roles. Different people have different skills and aptitudes. There was no leadership challenge at our meeting. Whatever is being said, it did not come from our group." Apart from Councillor Watson's absence, cabinet members remain the same as before, while Lauren Davison and Wazim Akbar have been appointed as cabinet support members. But individual portfolios have yet to be assigned to cabinet members, meaning it is not clear who is responsible for overseeing which council services. According to a report circulated at the council meeting, portfolio responsibilities are under review by Councillor Ashworth and details will be confirmed in due course. Councillor Ashworth said this work would be 95% complete by next Tuesday's cabinet meeting. But Conservative opposition leader Dan Jellyman said this should have been done before the council meeting. He said they actually changed the date of the annual council meeting to give themselves an extra week to sort themselves out, but they still haven't managed to do it in time. "This is the fourth cabinet reshuffle in 2 years. It's just rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic as Stoke-on-Trent sinks in the background." "I didn't always agree with Councillor Watson, but he was well respected across the chamber and the only one with experience from the previous Labour administration. And now Councillor Ashworth has thrown that experience away." Councillor Watson has approached for comment, but simply said that the leader arranges her cabinet. Now we have a lot of names to read out because the new cabinet is as followed. Council leader Jane Ashworth, Deputy Council leader Amjit Wazir, Sarah Jane Colclough, Finlay Gordon McCusker, Sarah Hill, Majid Khan, Chris Robinson, Lynn Watkins, part-time, Duncan Walker, and we have two cabinet support members, Lauren Davison and Wazim Akbar. So this is the end of my story.